Well, I'll be sharing a message this morning. It's called, I entitled it, The Anchor for Our Souls. We'll be looking at Hebrews 6, 13 to 20. And I want to start off with just a couple, a story, illustration, and some things that connect before we get in our passage. It'll be Hebrews 6, 13 to 20. This is a picture of when I grew up in New Hampshire. This is a pond. My family's really blessed to live on this really cool pond, and this is right off my parents' backyard. You're able to go all over the place. Kind of like a tiny lake, but a pond. So I spent a lot of time out there canoeing with my brothers and my dad and going fishing and the three of us fishing from the canoe and not trying to cross lines. Anybody like fishing? Anybody's like, yeah, that's where I want to be. Maybe even right now. Oh, see that hand go up. No, I don't put it down. I'm just kidding. I got you on that. But yeah, going out and canoeing and hanging out and just a great time, great memories. And I remember eventually when we just wanted to stay like stationary in the middle of this pond, and like the breeze is really light. You would slightly like drift if you try to like stay in one place. So my dad purchased, I think it looked exactly like this, just an anchor. And it was fun because you could kind of fold it up, and then if you let it out, it kind of just came out like this, like a blossom thing or whatever, and you could anchor, and if you wanted to be fishing in one place, you could stay pretty stationary. Anchor helps you hold fast to a certain location. And I remember having fun sometimes with this anchor. Me and my brother Dave would be canoeing, and yeah, this is just like, I don't know, you ever get ideas? You're like, I wonder what will happen if, sometimes they're not great ideas. So anyways, I remember taking the anchor one time, me and my brother are canoeing as fast as we can across like the pond, and just be like, what happens if you just open this up and chuck it backwards, right? You know, at full speed in a canoe. So I remember doing that, and then us that getting caught on like a tree, and then just like whiplash forward, you know, because it's just like, woo, like the anchor, it was strong, it held us fast. It was a bad idea, but the anchor, it did what it was supposed to do. If we had the anchor in the boat, obviously not very efficient on being stationary, but if we put it down in the little pond, little breezes, we might move around, but it would be like in a radius to the anchor. It would hold us fast. And I want to talk about an anchor, and an anchor specifically, not for a canoe or a boat, but for our souls. It's possible in life that we can be anchored to things that maybe aren't related to God. I want to share a story, just an area I realized, you know, one time I was anchored not correctly, maybe fully into God, his word, promises, and Jesus. My wife and I, Crystal, I came up here in 2011, but even from the 2011 get-go, I was very active in searching for a house, even putting purchase offers on a house in 2011. We're in 2017 right now. And so I remember just trying to, like, Lord, like, I'm really trying to get a place, and I really feel like God wants me to be up here. And then Crystal and I got married, and we're both up here, 2012, really actively pursuing. And I remember a couple years ago, as we're looking, we found this house that we thought was, like, I don't know if you've been house hunting. You ever find the one that you think is, like, the one? Like, you're for sure. Like, you know, every prayer is, like, got to be confirmation on this house. You know, when you drive by it, it's raining, but somehow the sun beam is hitting the house. You know, it's like, ah, it's like, how can this not be the house? The price was right. We could get it. It was, like, so, it was just so nice. It's just, like, it's got to be the house. I remember in that moment, I would just think so much about this house. Like, this house is going to be it. And so excited about this house. And I don't know if you've ever been in a place with a house or something else in life that you're like, this is it. There's no way that it's not. I have full confidence, and my hope is fully placed that our purchase offer is going to be well received, right? And so I remember talking to our family and friends. We brought over the Rom lines with us. You guys remember that, going over to a house in Norwood and looking at it. And Don Rom lines like, the basement's beautiful. It looks like art. You said something like that, Don. I was like, oh, even Don loves it. You know, it's got to be good. He has a high standard. I'm like, thank you, Lord. And then I remember when our purchase offer was countered and we didn't get the house, and this feeling of devastation just like seemed to sweep over the whole family, especially in my heart. I had anchored so much hope into the house more than I had anchored it into Jesus, and I didn't really think I was doing that, but when things didn't go the way I wanted, I found out I felt devastated, as if like someone had just died, right? A hope, a dream, you know, the house that went, ah, anytime you drove by it like 20 times, wasn't there anymore. I felt cheated out of something that should have been mine. I felt that it weighed too much than it should have been. You know, there's definitely things you can be sad about something, but I was anchored into the wrong source. I wasn't anchored into Christ. And sometimes in moments of transition, loss, difficulty, stresses of life, if we're not careful, we can kind of put our anchor not in the Lord and in his promises, but into maybe some of our own circumstances, relationships, materials that aren't God. Things happen. I think we can all agree, sometimes life is going really well, And sometimes life is going really, really difficult. And with this amount of people in a room, I'm guessing we have some people, you're soaring. Like we had to ask you, like, hey, you just like is life could get any better? You're like, I'm at the best point. Where I'm sure there's others this morning that if you had to say, I haven't been at a lower point than I've been now. And it's more clear than ever. And maybe there's some of us in the middle, life's just kind of going okay. But my big picture encouragement this morning before we look at the passage is that we want to be anchored into God's promises. We want to be anchored into Christ alone. No others, no additional anchors put out there. In case God doesn't come through, I got B and C and D. I remember I was working at in the mall before I came up here as an intern. And I was talking to a lady who was coming into the store, and she worked at a church, and she's like, oh, why are you working here, you know? It seems like you could be doing other stuff. And I was like, yeah, I could be, but I'm working here right now, thank you. And she's like, I really feel like there's a sense of God's call, like, you know, a customer telling me this. And I was like, well, yeah, but, you know, I'm thinking about going to do a master's of business and stuff like that. And she's like, oh, so you're coming up with a really strong plan B instead of trusting God for plan A? And I was like, oh, this is a customer, right? I'm like, out you go, you know, behind me, Satan. How dare you come in here, you know? Manager, kick this lady out. But she was right. I was banking more on plan B than I was anchoring myself in the plan. Are you with me? With plan A, more on God's promises. God said this would happen because the wait was taking too long in my mind. I got to come up with a plan B, right? I can't keep waiting. God said that he's going to give me an internship, but I felt like, you know, after these months, maybe God forgot about his promise to me. So here's some things I was looking at. I was just doing some study this week. Stressors in life, and maybe you can relate to some of these currently or in the past. Maybe a friend's going through some difficult stuff. This is some things I was just reading. It's an older study. It's not recent, but I'm sure some of it still holds up. So researchers at the University of Washington School of Medicine developed the following scale for ranking stressful events. The higher one's total score in any given year, the more likely that person may develop a serious illness in the near future. And you can feel free to take a look at this. I don't need to read it all. But you can see on the left side, this is where it starts, goes down and over here, and you see a value. The higher the number value, the greater the stress. And oftentimes this research was doing that. It would lead to like an illness because the body would be so stressed. And so as you're looking at this, maybe you can think of, yeah, I've been in places where I had one of these stressors. Maybe you're in a place this morning and you're in one of these right now. And you're feeling this. Maybe you have several of these all at the same time. And as you can imagine, you can start adding up these points. And it's probably a game that you're wishing like, wow, I wish I wasn't there. But to be honest, you're there now. So you can kind of take a look through all of these. Things that can cause stress. Even exciting things, right? Like vacation. Chris, anyone ever get stressed out on vacation? Chris, the holidays, right? You're like, yeah, sounds fun. But sometimes there can be some stresses. And those are some down here. If you recently lost a spouse or a loved one, just the level of stress and the grieving process is incredibly high. And obviously there can be a combination. Sometimes multiple things happen at the same time. We're going to come back to this list just in a moment, but I wanted to just kind of bring it up. Maybe there's things that you're going through right now that are on this list. And I just want to encourage you that we serve a God who he knows what you're going through on this list. And maybe it's not even on this list where you're going through stuff. But I want you to know that he is a faithful and steady anchor for your soul. Amen? He's a constant. And you can bank your life upon his promises because he always comes through. So let's look at the passage this morning. Hebrews 6, 13 to 20. Let's look at some promises made to Abraham. Starting in verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. I want to stop right there for a moment. I know a lot of us are probably familiar with Abraham, the story. Maybe some of us aren't. But in the Old Testament, there's a man named Abraham and his wife, whose name was later Sarah and Sarai. They were promised by God that they would have children and that they would be a blessing to the nations, and you wouldn't even be able to count like their descendants. An awesome blessing, right? Get that kind of reception? And so Abraham received this promise, and God's making a promise, and God's backing the promise with an oath, which God doesn't really need to back a promise because he's always faithful, but he just, I mean, promise, character, and oath, like a double kind of, you're going to receive this. But as we might know this story, the promise was given, and there was an oath, which means that there was a time frame. You know, you don't give an oath if you're delivering on a promise, right? If I'm like, hey, Adam, I'm going to bring you a pizza. Here's a pizza. I don't need to give like an oath, right? The pizza's going to come. But in this case, God's saying, hey, you're going to have a child. There's going to be a blessing through you. And they didn't have children. And they were really old. The promise that was promised to Abraham and Sarah, it took 25 years to unfold. That's a long time, right? 25 years. Some of you are younger than 25. Some of you are older, and maybe a couple times, 25 times. There we go. I won't say anymore. But yeah, have you ever been waiting on a promise from the Lord and grown impatient in the wait? Bill Clark was talking that a little bit last time about faith last week. But grow impatient in the wait. Like when I was working at that store and God said, you're going to be doing an internship. Just wait for the internship. So I knew I was waiting for one. But I grew impatient, you know? That was a couple months. They're waiting for years. But Abraham, he's used all over the New Testament as an example of an individual who had great faith in God. And if you know the story, he wasn't perfect in waiting. He did wait patiently based on God, but things didn't always go well. You might remember, you know, plan A doesn't seem to be working in Abraham. So his wife's like, well, maybe, you know, maybe just take my maidservant Hagar, sleep with her, have a child. We'll fulfill God's promise in our own way. You guys remember that? Right? It's just like, it seems like you're just like, oh, that sounds really weird. That sounds bad. That's not a biblical concept, marriage. You know, what are you doing there? But in the wait, it's like, here's a promise, and we've been waiting and growing impatient. And so they're trying to make God's plan happen on their own instead of waiting for it fully. They did receive it. The child did come. And I do want to mention that, because sometimes you can look at biblical characters and be like, well, either they had it all perfect, right? Or they did it all wrong. But I like to be encouraged, hey, Abraham, Sarah, they struggle too, you know, like, and if you struggle, and I've struggled, you know, in the wait, God's promises, and you're in the wait, that difficult moment, just know that God's faithful. You can still hold on to God's promises. So let's continue. So it says, and thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise, or says, studying this is because of the promise, he waited patiently in that order. But for people swear by something greater than themselves. In all their disputes, an oath is a final for confirmation. In this culture being written, this would have been, you know, that would be like the final, you know, I'm going to give an oath, and, you know, that's going to settle this. This conversation is based on that. That ends it. That ends the conversation. The oath is there. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by the two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. Two unchangeable things. It's that God's character, he has an unchangeable character. Isn't that a good thing? Your circumstances can change. That list I showed a lot of changing and transitional circumstances. But we see the author of Hebrews saying, yeah, unchangeable character, and he backs his promises. God isn't a God who promises things he doesn't deliver on. And he doesn't lie. There is one that lies. His name is the father of lies. And the Bible refers to him as Satan. He's a master of lies. He just takes truths and makes them different, and he lies all the time. But that's not God. That's not the one who created you and loves you and cares for you. He is literally truth. And the spirit of truth leads you into knowing him more. So two things, unchangeable things. His character of his purpose, and he guaranteed it with an oath. So what was given to Abraham. But I think there's things we can glean from it this morning, you know, that God is unchangeable in his faithfulness, his love, his commitment to you and to me. Because of that, there's a strong encouragement, the author's writing, to hold fast to the hope set before us. Not loosely, not occasionally, but holding fast to the hope that we can have. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. God's promises, this hope that he's given to us, because he doesn't change and doesn't lie, we can hold fast to it. But because of that, that is an anchor. And I love the wording, the author of Hebrews words. That's an anchor for our souls. No matter what storm of life you encounter, no matter what difficult situation you're in now, you can be anchored in Christ through anything. Amen? Anything. And I really felt like God put this up in my heart. If there's some this morning and you're going through the storm, and maybe this is the worst one, or maybe this is just a minor one, I don't know. You know, like, Christ is an anchor that he can hold you through anything. I like how Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 6 when he says, all you have to do is stand against the enemy's schemes. You don't have to move forward. You don't have to run. You just have to stand. In Christ, you're able to be anchored. You're able to stand and withstand any blows of the enemy, of this life, difficulties, transitions, situations. Christ is greater. So we have this as a sure, steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. In the Old Testament, the Jewish people would be able to commune with God with the tabernacle and then later with the temple. And only the high priest could go into what's called the inner place or the Holy of Holies. And once a year, the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go into this place called the Holy of Holies and be able to be in God's presence. And he'd do that on behalf of the people, going before God. But isn't it awesome that we have Jesus who has now opened that access that once was only for one individual going on behalf of others, that we can go directly into the Holy of Holies? We can go directly into the inner court because of what Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That you don't have to go through someone else to hopefully get there. Jesus has literally made it. You can come right to the Father through him. That access point is now open. And this word that's used is really cool. It says, the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. That's someone that's running, you know, going ahead of someone else. Which means it's not like Jesus just went and I hope you guys do well. But he's literally going down, like think of like running down a trail. Someone's running down a trail, a forerunner, but you're going to be following in his steps. Are you with me? Like you're going there too. We're going there too. And if you know Christ and you're following after Christ, he has opened the access to the most intimate place with God. And he's there ahead of us. He's praying for us at the right hand of God. But if you know Christ or if you want to know Christ, you can have access to the inner place with the Lord. I just got so excited when I was reading about that. I was like, man, Lord, nothing of this is something that we worked up, we earned, we made happen. All of this is a gift from God. It goes on to say that Jesus, who's a forerunner on our behalf, had maybe become a high priest forever. High priests would come and go and be in the Levite family, but Christ is eternal forever in the order of Melchizedek, which the author of Hebrew goes on to explain more in chapter 7. But the big thing I just want to encourage this morning is, and the question I guess is, where are you putting your trust? Where are you putting your hope? Is it in a thing, a relationship outside of Christ? And one way to really know if you are or not is when you get hit with the storms of life. You know very well where your anchor point is, right? Or if you even put out an anchor, right? If you get hit in a storm and you're in a boat and you're no anchor and you're just getting blown around, it's like, yep, I wasn't anchored to anything. Or maybe you have an anchor, but it's not to the right thing. It's not to the Lord. Where's your soul anchor? As we look at this list again, is there an area of your life that you realize, Lord, I'm facing a difficulty? And it's big. It's a really big thing, not to minimize it. But Lord, could I see you this morning in your magnificence? Could I get a picture of you? Could you part, you know, the clouds, spiritually speaking? May I see your sun shining that I might know that you're with me and you can get me through this. And I don't know if you're going through one of these or maybe you got family members or friends who are facing some trials, but I encourage you this morning to put your trust, your hope in Christ and in his promises because God is unchanging. There's a gospel song that I love to listen to. My wife told me about it. It goes this way, a little bit of it. It's talking about God. If he did it before, he can do it again. Same God back then. Same God right now. Same God back then. If he did it before, he can do it again. And it's looking at God's unfailing character and what he's done before in the past. Remember what God's brought you through. For those who know the Lord, if you've gone through difficult times, remember what God's brought you through. If he did it before, he can do it again, right? Right? Same God right now, same God back then. If he did it before, he can do it again. So even though the circumstances in your trial, maybe you're moving way up this list, greater difficulty, greater trial, we even serve a greater God who can bring you through. It's so important if you're going through a difficult trial or not to be rooted and grounded in God's promises. And the best way to do that is spend time in God's word. I want to finish closing this message before we have family communion with just a couple reading from Psalm 1. It says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night." It explains what this person's like. "He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in the season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. They're not grounded like the one who's built upon God's word. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I told you about being really frustrated about not finding a home. And as many of you know, just recently, the Lord provided. We don't get any credit for this after 6 years of looking, but the Lord provided us with an awesome home that was affordable and better than the other home that we thought we liked in Norwood. Everything was better, exactly what we needed for a cheaper price. Isn't God good? Right? And we had friends, the Romlines, my parents, others are like, oh, you're so devastated. I'm like, I'm so devastated. Oh, it'll be okay. And then they would say this line, which always irritated me. God's got something better. I'm like, no, he doesn't, because I figured it out, and this house is it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this is it. I've done all the research. I looked at the taxes, MLS. I know all these things. I know every single house in 1500 out of St. Lawrence County. You know, we can go live anywhere in this county. I know where the house is. And Lord's like, oh, man, I got something better. And it's just having that trust. That was such a good reminder, by the way. Yeah, the Lord does have something better. Don't try to speed up God's promise with a plan B like Abraham and Sarah, who grew impatient in the wait, or me trying to get a master's of business when the Lord's like, I want you in ministry. But I'm like, I got to come up with a plan B that looks cool because I'm waiting. But to trust the Lord. Lord, I can trust you and I can trust your promises. Amen? So I'm just going to pray, and then Glenn's going to lead us in a time of communion and reflection. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your word does not change. And God, I pray that this morning, Lord, for those who are going through a difficult season, Lord, that they could be encouraged and renewed in the hope and the promise of Jesus, Lord. God, thank you that you've given us a hope that does not shake or waver, but is an eternal living hope in your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that we could encounter you, not just in information this morning, but God, that you could transform us in a special way to look more like your Son, Jesus. In your name, amen.